Hello again, and welcome to a special Thanksgiving 2023 episode of Musings on Golf. I'm Kelly Elbin, along with my great friend, Bob Bupka. Hey, Bob, happy Thanksgiving to you, to all of our listeners. And I know between you and me, we both have a lot to be thankful for this week.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. And I have a special group of people that I want to express my appreciation for. But why don't you go first, Kel? I know you have some good ones.
I was just thinking of, as it relates to the great game of golf that we love and we talk about and get to talk to so many special people, three things stand out to me this week that I'm thankful for. Number one, in a very general way, Bob, is just the overall popularity of our game at the grassroots level. You have a lot of people playing the game. You have a lot of age ranges playing the game. Things like PGA Junior League, where you're getting more youngsters involved in the game. It's very healthy and very popular. And that makes me feel great, being someone that we can talk about golf and people look and say, yeah, I think it's a great game.
And of course, the segment of the population that I want to be thankful for, they're almost 29,000 strong, but they're the club professionals that are in this game. Obviously, the PGA Tour players, the LPGA Tour players, Champions Tour players, they get a lot of publicity, a lot of credit, but I don't think enough attention is paid to the members of the PGA of America. I mean, the hours they work, the dedication they give to their clubs. I mean, your father was a prime example, 50 years at one club. And sure. I have a couple of club pros, Bob Joyce and Sonny Rhodes, that, you know, they have been lifelong friends. But I met them initially through the game of golf. And my entire life has been blessed by the game of golf, with the opportunity to do so many major championships and to travel all around the world, all because of golf. You're not going to find anybody more thankful for the sport of golf than I am.
Everybody who plays our game and really loves it, Bob. You mentioned about the 29,000 PGA professionals. And when we had Jim Nance on a couple of weeks ago, you know, he talked about a PGA professional who really kind of mentored him when he was a young man and gave him some of the values that he's carried with him. I also think about Lieutenant Colonel Dan Rooney, who's a PGA professional, and Lieutenant Colonel Rooney, who's had several tours of duty in some very challenging parts of the world. He started Patriot Golf Day, and from that, through the Folds of Honor, more than 50,000 scholarships have been awarded to families of America's fallen or disabled military and first responders. Talk about golf and an individual having a monumental impact in a positive way on the lives of people.
Yeah, Janice Self, our executive producer, just reminded me of one aspect of golf that never, ever, as far as I know, gets talked about, and that it's really the passport to the world. When I think of people that go on vacation, they go over to Scotland, they meet a lot of friends. They go to Ireland, they meet a lot of friends. They go down to Australia, New Zealand, all the places that I've been blessed to have been more than one time. And boy, there's no easier way to make a friend than stand up on the first tee and have somebody join you for a round of golf. You'll have a marvelous time. You'll get an education on what's happening in their lives, and it just broadens your horizons. And that's why I think golf individually, by far the best sport possible. I think it's on top of that pinnacle.
Yeah, I love that perspective. And our guest today, Ken Green, you talk about somebody, Bob, who, you know, could look at life very differently than he does today, and how thankful he is. Even though he's lost a limb, even though in a horrific traffic accident, he lost loved ones, he continues, as our listeners will hear, Bob, to be positive and to talk about what we can do and certainly what he's doing with PGA Hope, you know, through helping our Patriots everywhere. He's making a big difference. And man, you got to love that, Bob.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's been my experience that, you know, anybody that loves a dog has a kind spot in their heart. And I was, it was incredible to find out Ken Green has owned 45 dogs in his life. 45 dogs. That is a big, you know, that is a big heart. And, you know, Ken, in that horrific accident where he lost a leg, he did lose one of his dogs also. He lost his wife and he lost his brother. I mean, and yet he delivers a powerful message. And that's what I want our listeners on Musings on Golf to pay attention to. When Ken Green says, don't sweat the small stuff, life is too short, that is a very powerful message and certainly has a lot more meaning here on Thanksgiving week.
Yeah, no question. He impressed both of us. He made an indelible impact, I think, on both of us in maybe in ways that we hadn't anticipated. And you're going to hear the very heartfelt and impressive words from Ken Green right after these messages. William & Harry has launched a line of stylish waterproof golf shoes, and they are incredibly comfortable. The WH golf shoe is made of deerskin and suede. It has a gel insert, a form-fitting inner lining, and the reinforced hardened soft spikes on the outside of each shoe provide maximum performance. It's time to elevate your game. It's time to go to WilliamAndHarry.com.
The all-new Pro V1 and Pro V1X are designed to outperform. Created in Titleist R&D laboratories, manufactured in Titleist golf ball plants, and then validated by the best players in the world. These golf balls are longer and more consistent with unrivaled control. Outperform with the new Titleist Pro V1 and Pro V1X.
Welcome back to Musings on Golf. Bob, as we celebrate Thanksgiving this week, our special guest today has much to be thankful for as he continues to move forward from a tragic day that changed his life forever. Five times he won on the PGA Tour, all the while never reluctant to rock the boat at golf's highest levels while rocking the same color shoes and glove as his surname. And you know what? We're really happy to have him here with us today on Musings on Golf. Ken Green, how the heck are you?
Hey guys, it's good to see you again. I have no complaints. I mean, it's only my dogs listen, and they're starting to get tired of it. So I just keep going on every day.
Well, your dogs, Ryder. What are the names, please? You gotta tell our audience.
I have three German Shepherds. Ryder is the big beast. He's the biggest of them. And then I have a Birdie, and then I have a Bogey.
How many dogs in your lifetime?
These are dogs 44, 45, and 46. I've had as small as Bichon, and I once had a 225-pound St. Bernard that we got in Houston while we were on tour in a mall. Go figure.
Well, that's where I'm, Ken Green. Bob Upke here. And for our listeners who don't know about the tragic accident in I'll be honest with you. It pains me when every time I read about it. It pained me when I heard what had happened. It occurred on June 9th in 2009. Can you run through exactly what transpired that day, Ken?
Well, you know, I had just turned 50, and I was on the senior tour, and my brother was caddying for me, and my wife was with me, and we were driving in our RV, and we were coming from Austin, Texas, going back to Carolina, where my wife was from. And it was weird because right before I went to lie down in the back, I said to Jeannie and my brother, I said, we're gold from this point on, because I hadn't played competitively. And, you know, you get all the little demons are out of your head. And I had finally played a few weeks without demons, so I knew I was going to be just, you know, making a lot of money from that point on. I went back to lie down, fell asleep, And then I heard this big bang, and the rest is just speculation because I don't really remember anything after that. We had the tire had blown, the front right tire, and we went flying off at a steep embankment. I must have run forward to try to do something. I have no idea what, because next thing I knew, we hit trees and I went flying out the front windshield. Most of my body went out one side of the window and my leg went out the other side of the window. And that's how I lost my my leg. Unfortunately, Jeannie and Billy were killed immediately, along with one of my best shepherds ever, Nip. So I remember waking up and my sister was there and I was like, what are you doing here? What's going on? You know, and then of course she tells the story and then the next thing you know, we're crying. And it's, it's one of those, wow. You know, what else can you, it's a wow.
It certainly is a wow. And we're celebrating Thanksgiving this week. So much has happened in your life since the accident. I'm just kind of wondering, with all you've been through, Ken, what are you thankful for this week?
Well, you know, I try to look at it one way. It doesn't matter if you're a firm believer in God, then you should be okay. Everything will work out and it'll be fine. And if you're an atheist, well, then you better damn well live the life you have as hard as you can. So to me, it makes no sense to drown your sorrows. You know, you get a bad break and some bad things can happen. And you shake it off and you get going. I mean, 5 months later, I lost my youngest son to an OD. That one hurt. I mean, you know, no parent expects to lose their child. But I looked myself in the mirror and I'm like, listen, you just told yourself you're going to keep going when you lost your other family members. So you've got to keep going. And, you know, you've got to do some good out of this. And, you know, I've been trying ever since to encourage people and show them that you can get through this stuff. And it's okay to fall down and have a, quote, relapse, and so be it. But you just get back up and you keep going. So, you know, I'm pretty thankful that I'm still going at it and I'm still doing everything I can. I have two major goals: try to be a better person than I was yesterday and try to help as many people as I can. And I know it sounds corny, but you know, this is what life's about.
What an inspiration, Ken. What an inspiration. And thank you for all of our listeners we celebrate Thanksgiving.
Yeah, we're so pleased to be joined by Ken Green here on Musings on Golf. Ken, I've got to ask you, in terms of you had your lower right leg amputated. From a psychological standpoint, as you said, we're gold from here. You're starting to play what was then the senior tour. You were going to have a fair amount of success out there. You won five times on the regular tour. It was going to happen. Psychologically, what was that like to have everything changed in a flash?
Well, I mean, you know, it hurt because, I mean, I was about to go from financial security to basically how am I going to live? And fortunately, I'm not a big money guy. But it's still something that it was like, whoa, all right, what is going to happen here? You know, the tour retirement account wasn't really enough to live on. It started too late for me. And so it was a concern, but then I was like, all right, you'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. And you just keep doing, you know, my hope was maybe I'll start, you know, giving some talks and stuff like that. And then, then this stupid disease that I got really put a crimp in my plan because it was preventing me from doing a lot of things. The disease I'm referring to is it's a rare nerve disorder. It's called CRPS, complex regional pain syndrome. and it's for readers who I never even heard of it. So it's rated the most painful disease there is. And I can attest to that. It's when it hits you, you want off this earth so fast. It's unbelievable. And it's, but then I, you know, I just like, all right, you know, and I don't know if part of it's me, you know, that I'm a little competitive nut. I'm a big believer in God. So I'm like, all right. So I almost turn it around as like a competition. All right, this is just how you're going to do it. I'm not giving up, you know, and I just keep, you just got to keep fighting. And it's, you fight till you can't breathe. That's the way I look at it.
Ken, let me ask you. Go ahead, Cal.
No, kind of a two-part question. Did the amputation, did that take place right after the accident? And even to this day, what kind of pain do you deal with on a regular basis?
They came to me about 2 or 3 days after the accident, and they were a little concerned because my sister Shelley, who used to caddy for me, when they told her that the leg needs to come off, she's like, he'll never cut that leg off. He can't. He loves golf too much. And, you know, they came to me and gave me the story and told me that I could keep the leg. You're going to live in a lot of pain. You're going to have multiple surgeries left and right. And you're basically kind of just going to be dragging it. I'm like, well, I don't want to drag a leg. Just cut the damn thing. You know, and so it was simple as that. You know, they just cut it. What I tell people is, it's really, I'm very rare in that, you know, take away the CRPS and the pain I go through that. But the amputation and the prosthetic that I have now, I tell people it's nothing. It's not a big deal. And is it an annoyance? Sure, because it takes a little time here and you're going to have some pain, more pain than, you know, the average person. But I see people walking around that seem to be doing a lot worse than I'm doing. And they have, you know, quote, both their legs. And then, you know, I've met other people that have it far worse than I have it in terms of, you know, I can't imagine, you know, losing an arm to me would be a tough one, you know, and I've watched so many of those guys out there play golf and fight through the battle. And some of them are losing two arms, and, you know, so it's your battle is your own battle, and you should never diminish it because each person handles it differently, but you can take a little positivity in the fact that there's always people that have it worse. So you can, if you want to give yourself a little pity job for an hour or so, knock yourself out, but then you got to snap out of it because life's too important to live. It's too important for you. And then it's too important for your family and friends.
Ken, how soon or at what point after losing your leg did you get the idea that, hey, I think I can play golf again?
Well, I mean, playing golf was never a doubt. I come from the Arnold Palmer School. I'm going to play golf till I drop. You know, not like Jack, who doesn't play at all. I think as soon as I was walking, which was about 3 months, I believe I started, I think my first round was end of September, September 30th, if I remember right. So that was July, August. That was three and a half months later.
And right away, did you, once you started hitting some golf balls, did you think, hey, you know, I probably can play pretty good because I had a lot of talent before I lost my leg?
It wasn't, you know, those first few swings were like, oh boy, this is a change. But, you know, once I got it down, you know, I knew things were going to change. But it to me, it was like, I'm one of the rare people who gets older, I'm going to actually get better. Because each time I get a chance to get better, even though I'm getting older, because I'm starting basically from scratch again, trying to develop a golf swing, trying to figure out how to play. And so that's the way I looked at it. Like each day, even now, you know, it's been 14 years, I still think I can get better. So even like all you guys who start slowly get worse as you age, I still think I'm going to get better now than I was 7 years ago.
Love it. Love it.
What an attitude. And, you know, I can see the driving force behind everything that you've accomplished just listening to you talk. You know, you competed in the U.S. Adaptive Open, and I wonder what was that like for you? And tell us a little bit about, I know you're active in PGA Hope.
Yeah, I you know, like I said, I try to do as much as I can to help people out. I mean, obviously, you know, my history is my history, so it was great when the USGA created the new national championship that we played in this past 2 years in Pinehurst. And it was, I know this is going to sound strange, but in many ways, it was far more important. You know, when we played a US Open or a Masters, we played it for us. You know, it was, you were trying to accomplish something in the golf world, you know, and, you know, trickle down effect, you help your family survive, you know, all that kind of stuff. But when it comes to the Adaptive Open, it's far more important, because if we can get out there and show other people that have been dealt a rough blow, and you don't necessarily have to miss a leg. It could just be a tragedy that you've gone through in life. You know, you might've lost a child, or you might've lost a spouse, or you might've lost your job and all your finances, or that you can get out of it, you know, and that it's a great way to show those that are on the edge that you can climb out and get out of the hole. And especially those that are on the edge of suicide, because, you know, let's face it, unfortunately, there's a lot of people that are on the verge, and everyone we can save is a person we've saved. And I think golf can save lives, countless lives, because there's no better game than golf. It will wear you down. It will beat you up, but it gives you the satisfaction and the joy like no other sport. And I play all the other sports. I'm pretty active, but there's nothing like golf. And it's, you know, it's my job and the rest of our jobs to help all the others.
Ken Green with us here on Musings on Golf. You know, you remind me so much of Dennis Walters. I've been fortunate to call Dennis a good friend for a long time. Dennis had a terrible golf car accident in his early 20s. And from that, he turned lemons into lemonade and has gone on, as you well know, to give thousands, tens of thousands of trick shot shows. He's now a member of the World Golf Hall of Fame. And it's got to be I know for Dennis, he says, hey, if you have a dream, it doesn't come through, it doesn't work out, find another dream. It has to be as much, from what I'm hearing from you, as a mental thing and a belief and a constant moving forward as anything.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, and again, this can be just for Joe Blow. I mean, you got to have a purpose. You got to have a reason. You know, how many people do we all know that are living life but not really enjoying life? You know, they're going to work. They're doing this. Yeah. They're doing that. You know, they're not real happy. But the wife's not real happy. You know, and it's like you want to just shake them a little and say, come on, snap out of this. This, you know, this is why we're here. You got to have a purpose. You got to have a reason you want to get up every day. And the more reasons you have to get up, the more fun you'll have doing it. The more fun you'll have doing it, the more successful you're going to be at doing whatever you want to do. You know, and to me, it's kind of a no-brainer. But some people get caught, you know, and it's okay to get caught in that web, so to speak. But, you know, that's why there's other people out there to help you get pulled off that web, so to speak.
I enjoy your blog, Ken Green, golfer and hunter of hope. As you've always been, it's unvarnished. Just ask Patrick Reed as an example. And the book that you came out with in 2019 by the same title of Hunter of Hope. And I'm wondering why those words, why that title? That's a interesting use of words.
Hunter of Hope came from my 20-year-old son that I lost, his name was Hunter. So I wanted to put his name in there. So that's how I came up with the Hunter of Hope. And, you know, obviously with all the issues that have happened in my life, you know, just to kind of tie it together. And that's how I came up with the title of that. But it, you know, when I decided to do that book, you know, I came out with some pretty ugly news.
Yes, you did.
To this day, it's still, you know, I mean, you're haunted for your whole life. The sexual abuse I went through was, you know, just, it's mind-boggling. It just, I don't understand what, some people call it a sickness. I don't, I'm going to lean more towards the other side, that it's like, I don't know if I want to call it a sickness. I think it's just more people being evil. I get there's these evil people. Sickness, yeah. You can't tell me you can't stop if you don't want to stop. You're doing things you know are dead, flat out wrong. And you were about to impact. I mean, they changed me for forever.
Yeah.
I'll the Ken Green I am, I was never going to be, the Ken Green that I am, if that stuff never happened. But again, it's the same thing. I go back to that. All right. Just pick up the pieces and get going. And I didn't realize the psychological impact it was going to have on me, because I'm one of those guys, spit it out, let it go. So it's been a little more of an impact mentally on me than I expected, but it was good. I wish I had done it a long time ago. But when you're beaten, you just don't say anything. You just don't, especially when it comes to guys. I think guys are more apt not to say anything than as much as many girls don't say anything. I think guys, it's even harder. But like I've said in my blog, if I'm going to write a book that somebody of my friends encouraged me to do, I'm going to tell the truth. And then, of course, none of them knew all about that. But that's what I do. I'm a firm believer in telling the truth. Life is better when you tell the truth.
Okay, before I turn it over to Bob, I'm going to ask you three questions as part of a new series we have, a new feature called Your Three Shots. All right?
George's
I know
three
you'll
shot?
Tell the you, this is Ken Green's three shots, and I know you'll tell the truth on this. So first question is, if you could only play one golf course for the rest of your life, what would it be and why?
It's a toss up, but I'm going to go with Pebble Beach. It would be either Pebble Beach or TPC Sawgrass. And I'm going to choose Pebble because, unlike TPC Sawgrass or the Wingfoots of the Oakmonts of the world, the Pine Valleys, they're going to beat you up. Pebble Beach, you can win. And you can go out there and shoot your good round, whatever your good round is.
Yeah.
You can do it there. And then you have the variety of the weather, which would be nice. So, versus, say Florida, where you're going to be consistently the same stuff. The golf course itself is beautiful. If you can't be at peace at Pebble, then you need to go check yourself in, basically. So Pebble Beach would be my answer.
If you had just one round to play at Pebble, who would the other three players be in your foursome, whether they're alive or deceased?
Well, I'm going to answer that like on a professional way because I was, a golfer. So I'm going to go the golfer route versus, their family and friends stuff. Palmer, Bobby Jones, and Fuzzy.
Oh, had to get a little humor in there.
Well, I mean,
I love it.
To me,
what a foursome
you gotta
that
keep
would
it fun
be.
And going.
Yeah.
And this way, Fuzzy and Arnie can be trying to, they're going to be talking about all the women that are following us around.
All right. Final question from me before I turn it over to Bob. What is the greatest golf shot you hit in your life and why?
Oh, probably the one that I today think I was the greatest shot I've ever hit under the gun.
Yeah.
And I know this is going to sound weird because it turned out as a negative, It was the last shot at Belfry at the Ryder Cup. I back then it was a big three-tier green. I had Jose Maria Canizares just pull hooks his three iron. It hit in the bunker, and I still haven't figured out how this happened. But if you go back in the replay, you'll see it hit in the bunker and somehow bounces on the green. So I don't know if he hit
a
pebble.
This is 1989, right?
1989, yep. And we were tied going into that hole. So I had 212 to the hole, 209 to the top of the ridge. And that was when the cleats were out. I think the cleats had just come out, like the little five woods back in the day. And it was so good. I mean, it never left the pin. It was straight up in the air. It flew 209, right at, literally at the edge of the – I still don't understand how it didn't end up as a tap-in. Instead, it bounced straight up, came down, and rolled 80 feet away. So, you know, and then I ended up losing the hole. So, you know, people would say, well, how can you consider that a great shot? But the shot was just – it was just perfect. I mean, and it was probably as nervous as I've ever been. So, to me, that's – I mean, that's all you can do in this game is hit the shot as good as you can hit it. And sometimes you get boned in golf, you know. That was definitely the shot that I remember the most. That just the execution. I remember Tom Kite coming over after I hit it, and he goes, that was some shot. You know, and it just – but it was a great shot. It really was.
Well, Ken, you have been inspirational and enlightening. One last question I'd like to have. Your thoughts on the Ryder Cup.
Well, you know, they basically turned it into Buddy's Cup. They might as well get Mr. Ryder out of there and just call it the Buddy's Cup. You know, and I understand it to a point. It's a shame that, you know, they don't understand it. I mean the players, you know, whether it's Scotty picking, you know, Sam Burns' his best friend, or, you know, Ricky Fowler, Jordan Spieth and JT, you know, they're all great players. But it's how on earth Lucas Glover is not picked. You know, they wait for the end to choose the hot player. He drives it straighter than everyone else on a course where you need to drive it straight. You know, I just don't get it, you know. And then some people think it's fine picking Brooks. I don't. I think Liv is put a serious nut into professional golf, and no one seems to care anymore because they've so-called kissed and made up. I'd like to see him stop doing all these captains picks, because they're just going to pick their friends. You know, we have the same five guys that are captains. Same vice captains. They keep picking the same players, and we keep going. You know, I mean, you can't tell me that in the press conference they made a big deal of the players, I mean, by saying, oh, this is the closest team I've ever been on, blah, 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 blah. Well, what's that got to do with anything? You still got your asses kicked. I mean, I've never seen professional golfers choke as bad as they did. It's okay to play bad. But these weren't bad shots. These were just choke shots. Now, they're not going to admit it because people are afraid to admit it, but you can't tell me. I mean, I know professional golfers. They don't hit those kind of shots unless they're choking. And it's a shame that it's come that way. I think they need to just go back to the top 12, make it, call it a day, and go play golf. It's not rocket scientists.
Wow. I got to put a disclaimer in here. Those were the honest words of Ken Green, not necessarily reflecting the feelings of the guy that asked the question, but I thank you for that. And in case you didn't think that Ken Green's not a great athlete, he bowled a 300 game once in bowling.
Four times, by the way.
How many?
Four.
Four times.
Four times.
Yeah, it wasn't
holy
just a fluke.
Mackerel. And my
you bowling... can only dream of that, Mr. Bupka.
Yeah,
you can
well
only dream of that.
I told I had something in common with Ken. It was in bowling. I did bowl 276 games in a row one time for a charity event, and I think I'm still suffering the ill effects of that, and that was about 40 years ago.
How many beers?
No beers, but some friendly medicine from my doctor.
Oh, okay.
I'll leave it at that. Hey, Ken, inspiration, inspiration, inspiration. That's all I think of when I hear the name Ken Green. I'm going to let Kelly say thank you because it'd take me about 2 hours to say thank you.
Oh, thank you, Bob. I appreciate that.
Yeah, so appreciative.
No, Ken, and this has been fantastic. Happy Thanksgiving to you, your family. I'm sure there'll be many that you will think of on Thanksgiving Day, as we all do, those with us and those who've gone before us. It's a special day and one that we're truly all, you know, quote, thankful for.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope everybody has a good day. And I will add on one little thing. Remember, people, when you hear about a tragedy of a friend's dying and this, you say you're gonna stop worrying about little things and this, and then it lasts about a week or two. Huh. Make it last your whole life. Stop worrying about all the little things you people worry about. Get off that wagon, because it'll drive you nuts. There's only one or two things that are really important in life, people. That's it.
Ken Green, thank you so much. Just like you, I want to look good and perform at my best on the golf course. And that's exactly why I wear the new WH golf shoes from William & Harry. I love these golf shoes. They're made of deerskin and suede with a soft gel insert. And the reinforced hardened soft spikes increase stability and balance. And they are so incredibly comfortable. I invite you to head on over to williamandharry.com to check out the new WH golf shoe. Look your best and play your best with William & Harry. Yeah, Bob, I mean, we get to sit down with loved ones on Thanksgiving and share a meal and share love and share stories and think about those who aren't necessarily and unfortunately with us anymore. And for Ken Green, as I hope everyone would agree, he's got a huge heart, and he'll be thinking of those who are not with him any longer on Thursday. But well, he's doing everything he can to look forward and to try to change lives.
Yeah, and I'm very blessed, along with our executive producer Janice Self. We're going to Boston. I'm going to spend some time with my sister, who's going to be hosting us at Thanksgiving, and my brother Tom is going to be there. The three of us don't get many opportunities to be together, but we will be this Thanksgiving, and I have so much to be thankful for. And musings on golf is something that I'm thankful for, because I think we've been in a position to highlight some of the great people involved in the game of golf, from Jim Nance to you name it. I mean, there has been many a personality that have graced the microphones of Musings on Golf, and we look forward to many more great interviews in the future.
Yeah, and when you consider Lee Trevino, as you said, has graced our microphones, and Gary Player, and Dottie Pepper, and Peter Jacobson. We're fortunate, you know. We not only do we know these people, but they're really, really good people who care about our game. And that's I think that's what we've tried to allow our listeners to do, Bob, is to share their stories, and hopefully, and I think our listeners are benefiting from that.
I think so too. And best way I can sum it up when we have one of these interviews is, now you know the rest of the story.
As the great Paul Harvey said many, many a morning. Bob Bupka, Janice Self, happy Thanksgiving to you. Safe travels. And Bob, I know you want to wish happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there.
Absolutely. Gobble, gobble, gobble. Eat plenty of turkey. Enjoy yourself. And look around that table that you're going to share on Thanksgiving Day, and just appreciate that every one of those people are there, because there is no guarantees.
It's so true. Bob, happy Thanksgiving. All of our listeners. For Bob Bupka, Kelly Elbin, signing off on a Thanksgiving week 2023, Musings on Golf.